So by all accounts, it was a bit of a humdinger that night on the lake. A storm that even well-seasoned fishermen hadn't been able to predict. I think that's probably a note worth making, isn't it? That they didn't set off for Gerasa. They were carried there in circumstances that they were not controlling. Theirs was a journey directed by the strength of the wind and the movement of the waters. They landed on the other side of the lake, but they might as well have landed on the other side of the world, given the differences in cultures in such a small part of the world. It reminds me a wee bit of Edinburgh and Glasgow. You don't have to travel far to find two completely different peoples. But hey, let's not get caught up with that. They land on the other side of the lake. Fishermen, driven by the wind, probably a bit battered and bruised, and probably, the truth be told, disoriented and frightened, because they're human. As they acclimatize to what it feels like to be, thank goodness, on dry land, they notice that everywhere you look, there are pigs, swine. Clearly, this is a part of the world where pigs are big business. I remember visiting that part of Norfolk for the first time, where pigs are big business. And you realize suddenly you're surrounded by pigs in that part of Norfolk, and that very distinctive soil as well. A man called Andronicus welcomes the strangers. Can see that they've had a bad time. Offers them food. The fishermen say, hey, guess what? It's going to be pork, isn't it? Andronicus says, yeah, it's going to be pork. They say that, you know, when they can, they've recovered the composure, fixed the boat, they'll be heading home. Andronicus says, well, yeah, that's fine. Head home. But it might be worth having a word with Tryphus. The fishermen say, Tryphus, having a word with Tryphus. Yeah. Tryphus, he's our sorcerer. He consults with the gods and the spirits of the dead. The disciples register this. Okay, consult. Why would this be? Because, says Andronicus, Tryphus knows the winds and how they will blow. Tryphus knows the spirit of the gods and the spirits of the dead. Consult with Tryphus before you go on your journey. The fishermen like the idea of consulting with Tryphus. This is going to be fun. Let's see who this guy is. Andronicus leads them to where Tryphus lives. Tryphus lives, if you know the story, Tryphus lives in a tomb. And if we'd been linking this story, as we did last week, to the passage from Isaiah, we'd have a reminder that far too many of the people of God spend their days dwelling in tombs. But Tryphus lives in a tomb. Tryphus doesn't just live in a tomb. Tryphus is locked up in a tomb, chained to the walls of the tomb. As they get nearer to the tomb, the fishermen hear the wailing, the moaning, the screaming of Tryphus. Andronicus says, ah, Tryphus is consulting the spirits. Listen to him. They're speaking to him, and he is speaking to them. By this stage, the fishermen are beginning to chuckle. What a ridiculous situation this is. But, ironically enough, by this stage, the fishermen are hooked, if you get my drift. And they want to get to the end of the story. Don't you all? So, they go to the tomb, and they consult Tryphus. Tryphus says, leave it a couple of days, the storm will calm down. The fishermen say, oh yeah. Tell me a couple of days when the storm didn't calm down. One of the group is not a fisherman, but he was traveling with them anyway. And he's got a question for Tryphus. Andronicus says, yeah, ask Tryphus any question you like. And Tryphus will consult with the spirits of the dead, and Tryphus will give you a good answer. So, the extra passenger asks a question. You may have guessed by now that the extra passenger with the disciples who's going to ask the question is a man called Jesus. So he says to Tryphus, Tryphus, just one question. What should I do about Cleotilde? The fishermen snigger. What should I do about Cleotilde? Yeah, says Jesus. What should I do about Cleotilde? I'm just caught up with her. I can't get her out of my mind. Every time I speak her name, I just shudder. What am I going to do about Cleotilde? Well, there is the noise of chains moving, Tryphus screaming and wailing. And then Tryphus says, ah, the voices, they have spoken to me. And Tryphus says to Jesus, Cleotilde, she is not the woman for you. Cleotilde is barren. She cannot bear you a child, far less the son you so want. By this stage, the disciples have lost it. And even Jesus is sniggering. Because, of course, Cleotilde is the name of the boat they just crossed the lake on. The whole thing is ridiculous. The disciples say to Andronicus, hey, we're out of here, mate. This is just so much rubbish. To which Andronicus says, oh, not so quick, my friends. One dinner, one consultation. You've consulted Tryphus. One dinar for a consultation. Jesus says, I've got one more question. Andronicus says, that'll be 2 dinar. Jesus says, that's fine, 2 dinar. It'll be worth it. One more question. I want to ask Tryphus one more question. But of course, he's not just asking Tryphus. He's asking everybody. He's asking the crowd that have appeared by this time because, of course, locally in this small fishing port where they have a lot of pigs, word has traveled. There are some strangers in town making trouble. And Jesus' question is a simple one. The money, the dinar. Where do they go, Tryphus? Do you get the money? Does Andronicus get the money? Who gets the money? And then without asking what the next question is going to cost, Jesus says to Andronicus, tell me, who's your boss? Who are you working for? Andronicus is a bit of a dimwit, the truth be told. He can't resist showing off. So he says, well, actually, I work for Aesculapius. And he's the guy that owns all these pigs. He's a very wealthy, very important man, and he's my boss. We work together. Bit of a show-off. And Jesus says, all right. Aesculapius, that's who you work for, eh? By this stage, a lot of people have gathered. Jesus says to Tryphus, these guys, they've given you a good run for your money. They've locked you up. They've made money out of your personal circumstances. They've made a monkey of you. And he says to the disciples, start to unchain him. The disciples are a bit nervous about this, but Jesus says, no. Unchain him. You normally deal in nets that hold people. We do not deal in chains that enslave people. We set this guy free. And as they unchain him, some women in the crowd come forward and they begin to clean Tryphus's wounds. And they find some clothes to put on him to restore a little bit of his dignity. As they encourage him together to stand up and to move out from the shadow land of the cave and the tomb into the brighter light of the day. Some people get what's going on. Some people don't. Tryphus, realizing that something remarkable has happened, says to Jesus, "Let me go across the lake with you. Let me join you." And Jesus, not for the first time to someone in that circumstance, says, "No. You don't belong with me. You belong where I found you." And when people see you free, when people see you walking with dignity, when people see you not as some spectacle chained up in the tomb, ranting and raving, when people see you in the new light of the new you, they will realize that there are no gods and there are no spirits of the dead to consult with. And you will be truly a free man. And they might become freer as well. We don't know how the story ends. Have you noticed how many of the stories are told in the New Testament? We've no idea how they end. But we get a hint. We get a hint. You see, by this stage, all the people that have been enamored of Aesculapius realize that actually he's not a clever businessman at all. He's a fraud. He's someone who abuses. He's someone who milks the system. He's somebody who keeps the poor in place by telling them ridiculous stories and asking them to pay him for the privilege of listening to this rubbish. And so the story goes that all these people who'd signed up to the wonderful world of Aesculapius begin to pull their business from him. They do so in droves. It's almost as if you could see his cattle running into the lake and drowning.